there's already a play there just to bring rents to market without even putting any money in it. But on top of that, there was a value add play. They'd only touched about 20% of the units in terms of renovation. So there were still 80% of the units to renovate. There were several comps to prove that we could bring the rents to a certain point by renovating the units.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. Every Friday, we dive into strategies and tips on how to protect your money, how to make it work for you, and how to make more money so you can live the life you want to live on your terms. All right, today's another solo episode. But before I get into that, just want a quick update. I'm sure as you all know by now, on Wednesday, the Fed announced that they were raising rates by 50 basis points, so 0.5%. That's the largest interest rate increase in over 20 years, so over two decades. Unprecedented in the last two decades, rates are going up. We know that. But what does that mean for us investors, for those trying to buy a home? One good thing that did come out of his conference after the meeting was that he said they have no intention at this point to go up 75 basis points in any rate hike in the near future, which is good. So that kind of tempered the market a little bit, but we've seen the stock market sell off over the past few days. As I'm recording this, it's down again. And the 10-year treasury, which as for those of you that know and for those that don't, it's what we really track when it comes to interest rates. We watch the 10-year because the 30-year mortgages has been historically highly correlated to the 10-year treasury note. So we look at what it's doing, and it's been obviously climbing over the last 3 months, specifically since they raised rates in March. And this week has been no different. We topped 3%. We're still over 3%. So that is something to keep an eye on. And just to look at some data, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are still like, well, hey, the fundamentals of real estate are still great. There's still a lot of demand because we're lacking supply. We haven't been building over the last decade, at least not at the rate that we need to be. And that's all true. And I agree, fundamentals are strong. There's still a huge need for housing while I'm, and that's why I'm still a net buyer of multifamily apartments. You still need to have perspective. I heard someone say that rates have only gone up by 2%, 200 basis points. That's a misleading statement. We got to look at affordability. Like, yeah, it only went up 2%, but what does that do to your monthly payment? Because that's what affordability is, right? That you got to be able to make that payment, whether it's your own home or an investment property, you got to be able to make that payment. So there's a company, is a mortgage data and technology company called Black Knight, and they do a lot of this analysis. And an article came out from the beginning of this week, and Black Knight warned that if mortgage rates rise by another 0.5 percentage point, so 50 basis points, or if home prices go up another 5%, affordability will hit the worst levels on record. About 1/3 of the housing market is already there, which is pretty crazy, right? Purely from an affordability standpoint, mortgage rates have and payments have gone way up. The average homebuyer's mortgage payment is up 38% this year alone. And that's at $1,884 on average. And that's a 72% increase from the start of the pandemic. So it's just really important to keep that in mind. Another stat to look at is one of the most looked at affordability stats and ratios, and that's the payment to income ratio. So your mortgage payment to the income you make, or the share of the median income of home buyer. And so if we look at it back in 06, eve of the 07 to 09 recession, the national payment to income ratio for home buyers hit an all-time high of 34.1%, with home prices up 19.9% from a year ago in March, and mortgage rates well above 5% now. That ratio now currently is 32.5%, and that's as of April 21st. So I'm assuming that's higher now that we've had another rate hike and we haven't really seen the prices of homes really go down at all. If not, they're probably still ticking up a little bit or staying level. So the point is that what leads me into the meat of this episode. I've said this before, and that's just to make sound fundamental investment decisions. Don't do anything based off emotion. If you have your buy box, your criteria of type of investments you'll make, stick to it, especially now. I know you see a lot of people out there doing a lot of deals, adding a lot of units to their unit count, making a lot of money, or at least presenting the notion that they are making a lot of money. Don't let that rule you. Do not let that make you make decisions you should not. Trust me, I know how it is. I see it. I want to keep buying apartment buildings. I want to keep adding to my unit count. Trust me, I know how you feel. And I'm going to add to my unit count, but it has to be based off fundamentals and a sound decision, not based on emotion. And yesterday I found out that we were not awarded a deal. And this was probably the best deal we've seen in the last several months, both from a return perspective and also just from the quality of the asset, the location of the asset, and the opportunity, what we could do with the asset. It was awesome. It was an 80s built B-class property in an A-class neighborhood surrounded by A-class office. It was in the best neighborhood of this prospective city. The current owner had owned it for about 7 years, give or take. The way they operate, they keep rents below market so they can have high occupancy and low turnover. So there's already a play there just to bring rents to market without even putting any money in it. But on top of that, there was a value add play. They'd only touched about 20% of the units in terms of renovation. So there were still 80% of the units to renovate. And there were several comps that proved that we could bring the rents to a certain point by renovating the units. This was an awesome play. It was with a brokerage team that we've had transacted with before. So very confident in that. They told us they would lead us to that price that we could acquire it, right? Obviously, you always take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, they know that we transact with them before. They want to keep doing business with us. They know we have the surety to close. Same time, they also want to get the highest price. So does the seller. And so what ended up happening is they told us the price that would win it the day before submitted offers. I was going to submit at that price. And they said, because of what was happening right on the day we submitted offers, was the day that they raised rates, right? And so I talked to them and they said that they were still guiding. So it was $18 million. They were still guiding around that price, but they weren't sure they were going to get it. And at the time, I was like, we could take it down at that number, but we got really close to that number. I didn't want to go above that number. Wouldn't have been a sound decision. Yeah, we wanted that deal. This is a great deal, but I have a fiduciary duty, not only to myself, but more importantly, to my investors that would have been in on the deal. And it just didn't make sense to go above that number. We had solid terms, solid earnest money deposit that would go hard day one, which I hate doing, but in this market, if you want to play ball, you got to do it, unfortunately. Yeah, it was a solid offer. I was pretty confident about it. Like I said, we transacted with this team. They want us to do more business because they love how easy we are to operate with during the whole process of buying a property. We do our best to never retrade. We've never retraded with this team. For those you don't know, retrading means trying to lower the price, maybe find something and you ask for money off. We've never done that with this team. And we just make it easy on everyone as long as they, you know, make it easy on us. So they love working with us. They wanted to get us more, but at the end of the day, we just awarded the deal. And it sucks. It's not fun. See everyone else doing deals. You want to do deals. We're getting our investors excited because we thought we had a good shot at this and they were excited about it. We didn't get it. And it sucks. But I also have to be happy, maybe a little proud of myself that stuck to our number, our guns, and we didn't go over. Because the winning bidder had the same terms as us, but they went over $18 million. Now, they wouldn't disclose how much they went over, but I'm assuming it was a decent amount to not go with someone that the surety of close, which was us. So if it had been off by like $100,000, they probably still would have gone with us. But yeah, it's tough. It's not fun, but you got to stick to your fundamentals. You can't act on emotion. I knew this one would be competitive. If I acted on emotion, probably would have put an offer in over $18 million. Yeah, it's not fun to lose, right? Competitive guy. I want to win. At the end of the day, if you overbid, you might have won the bid, but you're probably not going to win the end game, right? And that's to another point. In this market, you want to be buying where there's cash flow. Doesn't necessarily have to be day one, but it should be pretty close. You shouldn't be relying on a massive rent pop to be able to make the deal work or a massive exit. You shouldn't be relying on a very low cap rate. Especially, you should be underwriting right now, cap rates are rising, not at a lower cap rate. And probably not even at the same cap rate you bought it, depending on the situation of the deal, right? But you don't want to bank on a massive exit to hit your numbers. Rates are rising. We don't really know what's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 years. Right now, if you look at the forward-looking curve of the interest rate market, of the bond market, it's showing rates will kind of peak at 2023, just above 3, Fed funds rate just above 10-year, just above 3. And then it starts, actually Fed funds, then it starts to peel back off in 2024. But that can all change. So you can't base your decision solely off that. And so the point of this is, yeah, it sucks not to win, right? Now you beat yourself up about it, think, what could I have done differently? But at the end of the day, you made a sound decision based off fundamentals and not emotion. And you got to be proud of yourself about that. Yeah, it's not fun in the moment, but in the end, it'll be worth it. And I talked to one of my mentors before this, actually, and he's been crushing it, has thousands and thousands of units, has been doing deals after deals over the last 12 months. Like, I don't even know how many, 10 plus, definitely over 10. It's already, I think, done somewhere between 4 and 6 this year, like large deals, and had 2 more closing this week. So I asked, like, how are you getting deals in such a crazy environment where most stuff is going to market and even the quote unquote off market stuff is still getting shopped around to like 10 plus groups? And then, because I see that his estimated returns and they look like great deals. So it's like, how are you getting these? You can't be buying them at these ridiculous prices. And he said to me, he's like, yeah, I'm never the highest offer and I never will be. That's not how you get sound deals. That's not how I get great opportunities for my investors, by being the highest offer. I said, so they're just picking you because you're a surety of closing, they've done business with you before? And he goes, no, most of the time they don't pick me. They go with the highest offer. But then what happens is they either can't try to retrade during the lead up to the PSA signing, and then the seller doesn't go with them, or they go through due diligence escrow and can't close. They can't perform. At that point, the seller's pissed. Been what, 60 to 90 days? And they just want to sell this property. So then the brokers, they're pissed too, because the seller's pissed at them. And they're pissed that a lot of time was wasted. And so they go back to my mentor and say, you still want to buy this thing? Most of the time he says, yeah, but at this price. And that's usually lower than in his original offer. And they usually accept it because they're just sick of it and want to sell. And they'll go with him, even if, you know, it's at a lower price, because, or it is at a lower price, because he has a surety close. He will close. And he told me the majority of the deals over the last 12 months have been, that he's done, have been just that. So just because you don't win the offer doesn't mean you're not going to necessarily do deals, right? Especially with a team that you've closed with before, that know you have a great thing going, know that you can perform. When they drop out of contract and they come to you, that's when the opportunity comes. So the point is this, it's to stick with it. Stick with your fundamentals, with your criteria. No, easy doesn't pay well. It never will. It's not tough times, it's tough people. And you got to get through those moments and just keep going forward. If this is something you really want to do, don't let something like that stop you. On to the next. There's so many deals out there right now. So much money out there right now that wants to be in a good deal. Just keep going forward and you'll get the next one. And I know this was a Finance Friday episode and talking about a multifamily deal, but I think it's just important in anything you do in life, especially finance related, don't make emotional decisions. Stick to your fundamentals. Yeah, it might suck if you don't win, but in the end, you'll be happy you did so. When we're all kicking back one day, thousands of units in our portfolio worth hundreds of millions, if not billions, I know we did the right thing, being able to give back to those in need, just having a great life. All right, guys, thanks for sticking with me on this one. Remember, easy doesn't pay well, and it never will. All right, get after it. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's a little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.